Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Greg Kelly Show.
Welcome back to America, Brittany Griner. How do you like us now, huh? A little bit more appreciation for your home country? Still going to take a knee at those games? Not at the championship games, for all I've heard about you. You're not much of a basketball player after all. You're kind of mediocre at the WNBA. Look, she's on her way home. That's good. I never want to see an American overseas imprisoned unjustly, and I do think it was unjust. However, we just turned over a master war criminal, Victor Bout, in exchange for her. This guy is responsible for so much carnage, the death of hundreds of Americans. I think he had a big role in the explosion of our embassies in East Africa back in 1998. He's killed hundreds and hundreds of Americans. Russia gets this guy, and we get Brittany Griner. This is like exchanging Osama bin Laden for Stuttering John. I mean, this is a ludicrous thing. And Joe Biden, wow, this is it. Look. He's no negotiator. He's never done anything in his life. He's surrounded by people who have never done anything in their lives. They don't know about this stuff. And this is the deal you get. This is the crummiest thing. This is right up there when the Indians, how much did they sell Manhattan to the Dutch for? Like $8 or something like that. It's a ludicrous deal. The woke left is, oh boy, they're so happy with this. They're so happy. Even Randy Weingarten, she's the teachers union head. Remember her? She used to hang around New York City. Now she hangs around America. She's a national force in the Democrat Party. That she's so happy that Brittany is on her way home. And thank you, Joe Biden, for this. I can't get over it. Remember when we let go like 50 guys out of Guantanamo Bay for that bum Bo Bergdahl? This is right up there with that. We get war. What was he? He was a deserter. A deserter. Bo Bergdahl. That guy's lucky we didn't shoot him when he got back here. He is lucky to be alive. But Bo Bergdahl, private nobody, walks off his post in Afghanistan, gets caught, held by the Taliban for about a year or so. And we gave, to get him back, we negotiated. We gave over, I think, four guys who were held in Guantanamo Bay. I mean, hardcore terrorists who were found in Afghanistan shortly after September 11, 2001, and in Pakistan also for Bo Bergdahl. Remember that? Obama had Bo Bergdahl's parents there at the Rose Garden, everything like that, big celebration. Then we're like, wait a second. Bo Bergdahl, what the hell happened to you over there? he went for a walk. Well, he had all kinds of issues with the military and the mission. And deserted his troops. And now we've got it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It really is. Again, I did not want, you may remember, I'm like, bring Brittany Griner home. I was saying it on social media, on this show, on the other show, when people like Lamar and let's see, who else? There are a lot of black athletes, quite frankly, who are always getting worked up about very small matters, anything concerning race in America. They lose their minds. They tweet like crazy. They call for the death of cops. But the Brittany Griner thing, they kind of blew off. I wonder why that is. But now that a lot of people are celebrating, although I see one, who's the football player who said, like I'm saying right now, excuse me? We got Brittany Griner. We had to give them this Victor Bout guy, master war criminal / illegal arms dealer for Brittany Griner. He's like, that doesn't sound right to me. A football player said that. Hey, do me a favor. Get to Dino. Who is this football player? I like him from the Dallas Cowboys. I liked him for about 10 minutes. Until, guess what he did? He apologized. He apologized. Oh, boy, they came down on him so hard. These things used to stay, you know, a day or a week or a couple of days at least. This guy goes from saying something controversial on social media to being cyberbullied by the left to issuing a full and complete apology within about 45 minutes. I'm sorry. I've been now educated. I didn't mean it. Joe Biden is the best. Oh, thank goodness. Everything's fine now. All right, Brittany Griner, welcome home. And you may want to think about standing up next time for that national anthem. What do you say, huh? What do you say? Now that you got a taste of what a Russia gulag is like, do you really think America is that bad? Do you think we're the source of all evil? Amazing about the left. Why are they so ashamed of America? I mean, for the time being, it's still a pretty good place to live. Although I feel like that's slipping away fast. Very fast. All right. Hey, did you see my Newsmax show last night? We did that thing. Oh, Barbara. Barbara from Long Island, from Huntington. I bet you're proud of me, and I'm proud of you. You made that great observation that for the political left in America, and I've known this for a while. I've made this observation myself, that the left wants to replace God with the government. And they use this language that is so kind of over the top when they're talking about themselves. They're talking about government. They're talking about the Capitol building as if it's a part of heaven. It's a government building. Where do I have this? This is in the second block. All right. Now listen to this. This over the top. They're talking about January 6th. They handed out gold medals. Can you believe that to the cops on January 6th? I love the cops, but these guys did not deserve a gold medal for that massive security failure. This is like the 17th ceremony they've had to honor the cops on January 6th. Also, the 17th ceremony to exploit the whole thing for your political gain. Listen to the language they use, though. Cut 22.
Today, under this hallowed Capitol dome,
these high ideals were once again on display right here on this sacred ground beneath the dome. And may we always remember the fallen, the martyrs for democracy. Thank you to our heroes for being with us today, and thank all of you for joining us as we canonize these heroes in the pantheon of patriots.
You get that? Sacred, martyrs, canonize, hallowed grounds, this pantheon of heroes. Well, pantheon means hall of the gods. Martyrs means dying for Jesus Christ. Sacred, of or related to God. Hallowed. We know these to be, this is religious. This evokes feelings of loyalty to God, not to federal buildings, not to members of the House of Representatives or the Senate. All right. I love our Constitution. I love our government. But I don't fall in love with a building, all right? And these people are trying to say that this is the most important place in the universe. In the universe, I can accept important place. I can accept one of the most important places in the country, a very sensitive place, a very important place where they come together. But sacred, hallowed, the martyrs, the canonization, the pantheon, the hall of the gods. Get over yourselves. Get over yourselves. Yeah, Joe Biden, here he is, sacred. I got to look up the actual technical definition of sacred. Hold on. Cut 23, please.
To drive us from this sacred ground. Tonight, we've gathered in this sacred space. I swore an oath of office to you and to God to faithfully execute the duties of this sacred office.
Portraits are going to hang on the walls of this sacred place, the people's house, forever.
Sacred. Connected with God or the gods or dedicated to a religious purpose and so deserving veneration. I don't think so, Joe. President is a very important position, but sacred? Get over yourself. And I find it all, quite frankly, very offensive, don't you? Don't you? And they use that as a weapon to enhance themselves, to reduce us, and that's what they want. They want us to see the state, the government as the ultimate authority in the universe. It's not. The state's power comes from God. It's God. It's all about God. All right? God is in charge. Not you, Joe Biden. All right? Not you, Nancy Pelosi. I see how you're trying to confuse the issue. And there are so many on the left in this irreligious, secular country of ours who sign up for this crap, who want to obey the state, as we saw, wearing those silly, ridiculous masks everywhere they go, keeping their kids out of school, all that stuff. Oh, and the other thing, DEI, this is, if the state is God, what is DEI? DEI would be one of the saints or, probably another god, right? Because pagans believe in multiple gods. And you got the federal government, and then you got this, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Barbara, this is where you come in. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. You've heard about that a million times, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. What could be better than diversity, equity, and inclusion? That's just all about that. Everybody from the gas station to the Pentagon has a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer. Equity, by the way, is a very dangerous thing. Equality is great. Equity is bad. Equity is communist. Diversity, that was what? It's the easiest thing in the world to go around counting faces, black, white, Hispanic. Oh, therefore, you're not racist, but you're racist. Too many white people. No, that's not human. That's not what we're all about. But now, suddenly, overnight, that's what everybody's about. So if you take that, diversity, equity, and inclusion. What is diversity, equity, and inclusion? What is it? How do you abbreviate that? DEI, right? D.E.I. Now, what happens when you take those periods out? You got DEI. Now, let's change it a little bit more, like I did last night. Let's make it a uppercase D and a lowercase E-I, okay? Then we have DEI, day. Now, what is that? This is where Barbara came in. She says, look that up in Latin. And I did. And what does it mean? Day is the generative singular of deus, deus being the Latin word for God or deity. All bow, all kneel at the DEI altar because it's a God. That's what it's about. That's just like, wow, mystery solved. DEI, it's their God. It is their God. Now, I didn't sign up for that, and neither did you. That has no link to the true God. Of course not. That's some corrupt program invented by men and women. Quite frankly, evil men and women. What do you guys think? Call me up. See if anything else is going on. U.S. still trying to free ex-Marine Paul Whelan. He's still over there. He's not as fashionable and not as famous, of course, because, well, his name is Paul. And that means he's a man. I'm going to go by gender norms here. He's an ex-Marine. The people at Nike care even less about that. What else about Paul? He's a straight male. So he'll wait his turn to come home. We may see him in a couple of years. But Brittany Griner, the lesbian basketball player who's married to another woman, who, by the way, I watched at the White House today. I think she snubbed Joe Biden, and I think she snubbed him on purpose. Going to review the tape. Also, did you see Joe Biden? He held the door open. It was Joe the doorman. It's one thing to hold the door open for one person, but you ever open the door for one person and then they're with somebody else and you wind up holding the door for like seven people as they come in and they'll, right? You feel like a doorman and nothing wrong with being a doorman, but he's the president of the United States and he held the door for seven people who just walked right on by him. It was like they... It was not good. Not good for America. And neither is, hey, welcome home, Brittany, but this whole thing is terrible. Victor Bout, terrorist for you. We lost out again under Biden. Be right back.
Greg Kelly. This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Another thing I did on the Newsmax show last night, great, big, beautiful tribute to Herschel Walker, who did a fabulous job with very little help from the swamp, from rhinos all over the place. They worked so hard against him, colluding with Democrats, big media, of course. He did a great job, came very, very close. I don't know how anybody in his position could win. Did he have baggage? Yeah, sure. Everybody has some baggage. But I noticed that, well, they did everything they could to highlight his, create some dirty laundry where there may not have been any, and totally cover up for Raphael Warnock. This is the report I saw the night before the election. Just this is it, right? Night before. How about a kind of a quick summary of these guys, who they are, why they want to be senator? You know, when I meet a politician who's running for an office, you should see how I interview them compared to, say, how Chuck Todd, you know, Chuck Todd will try to get him. And 5 years ago, you said this, but yesterday you said that. Just try to catch him in something. The first thing you got to find out is, who are you? Okay, if they're running against an incumbent, what's wrong with the incumbent? But it's got to be, like, what would you do as a United States senator? What are your priorities? Sometimes the simplest question is the best. Let's see. Ted Kennedy actually blew it. There might have been a President Ted Kennedy, by the way, if he could have answered this question. Why do you want to be president? So Roger Mudd of NBC News at the time in 1979 asked Ted Kennedy during one of those big, it wasn't 60 Minutes, but it was like 60 Minutes. I forgot the name of the show. Why do you want to be president? And then it was almost like Jackie Gleason. It was like Jackie Gleason when they said, for $4,000, who was the composer of Swanee River? Remember that? Remember that episode? Humana, 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 humana. Ed Norton, he had no idea what the answer to that question. He had never thought about it. I'm supposed to be the president. My name is a... Wait, how did he speak again? My name is Kennedy, and I was with that young girl, but there was nothing improper that happened. I was making sure that she got home to her cottage in Nantucket. He had never thought about it. And it came across. He had no idea what to say. And he's like, if you think about it, America is a land of tremendous natural resources. And therefore, should I come into the nomination? Should I proffer myself for that office? He said nothing. And it took him 10 minutes to say nothing. And he went down. All right. So why do I bring all this up? Oh, because of what happened in Georgia. Listen to this. Cut 13, please.
Warnock, who was first elected in 2021, is now facing his second runoff in just 2 years.
The Democrats have already secured a majority in the Senate. Why does a 51st seat matter here?
Oh, this is a Georgia seat. It matters to Georgians.
Tonight, the former football star is facing a new accusation of physical abuse. Cheryl Parsa, who says she had a 5-year relationship with Walker, tells NBC's Vaughn Hilliard Walker tried to punch her.
He had his hand on my throat and my chest, and then he leaned back to throw a punch.
Why are you voting for Raphael Warnock?
I'd say it's because he's just a catalyst for change in all the areas that I'm really passionate about, like the woman's right to choose.
See? Raphael Warnock was right on abortion. And Herschel Walker, according to the left, was wrong on abortion. So you drag out all kinds of characters, whether their story holds up or not, doesn't matter. Do whatever you can to take them out. And that's what they did. But boy, oh boy, did they expose themselves. They went too far once again. Give me a moment.
Greg Kelly. You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Ever had anybody ever send you something in Dropbox? Who the hell invented that? What is it even for? It never works for me. Hey, Barbara from Huntington. I talked about you on TV last night.
I know. You did a magnificent job with that whole segment. It was so comprehensive and really powerful, very understandable. You are a teacher.
Well, hey, the teacher needs a teacher, and that's you. You brought that thing, DEI, to my attention. But it was pretty cool the way we did it, right, with the animation and the dots going away and then the lowercase. It's one thing to have an idea. It's great idea. But then you got to make it into something. And it's quite frankly, that's where the art kicks in. So thank you for appreciating it, and good stuff.
That's where the art and the skill comes in. But I also wanted to add a little emphasis that, remember, this is Nancy Pelosi we're talking about here and the language she used. Now, she often boasts that she was raised a Catholic in a very holy household. So when she uses the word canonize, she's not referring to anything about the Bible. When she says we're canonizing them in the pantheon of heroes, canonized means in her church that they are declared a saint by the church. Now, that's quite a high bar for her to be talking about, but she knows very well what canonized means, and she is so exaggerating, as you pointed out. And when she said martyrs, she's talking about not people who live for Christ, but people who willingly died for their faith or their beliefs. Yeah. So you were giving her a nicer interpretation than I think she deserved to have, because she flaunts her belief in the Catholic Church's teachings.
Yeah, she's no good. What a terrible person. And hope she gets it straightened out before it's too late. But thank you. And that DEI, wow, that is their God. And it's not ours, of course. And that was something else. So anyway, Barbara, thank you very much. Keep in touch. As a matter of fact, keep in touch, all right? Everybody needs a teacher here. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Let's see what Sammy has to say in Howard Beach. Hi.
Hey, Greg. Listen, Roger Mudd was working for CBS until about 1980 when CBS announced that Dan Rather.
I know, and was, Roger Mudd quit in a huff. He was so mad. He was so steamed at Dan Rather. He walked out the door. He didn't even tell his boss. He left and he never came back.
I was going to say, it wasn't 60 Minutes, and I know you didn't
say
All right,
it doesn't matter, dude. Roger Mudd interviewed somebody on some show. The point is what Ted Kennedy said to him. Ted Kennedy said, let me see if I can find that. All right, so, you know, I mean, it really doesn't matter anymore. Roger Mudd's dead, by the way, and so is Ted Kennedy. So it doesn't matter where they said it. It's what they said, okay?
CBS reports.
All right. I don't care. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. Thank you. All right. Rich in Pennsylvania, what's going on?
Thanks, Greg. First of all, Barbara, I heard her yesterday and then again today, and I had no idea about how desperate the Biden administration was moving on this and the Democrats. And it really struck me like ringing a bell.
Hey, Rich, did you watch my show last night?
I didn't.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, man. You know what? That's the heavy lift, all right? Wow. You missed the whole thing, all right? Damn it. All right. Well, anyway, thanks, Rich. I appreciate it. That would have moved. Anyway, we all appreciate Barbara. But, you know, All right. One more. I'm getting really furious with you people. Kerry in New York. Not really. Kerry, what's going on?
Hi, Greg. Thank you for taking my call. Have you ever heard of something called the New Order of Barbarians?
No.
Yes, it's something that I found out about some months ago, and it refers to, this was something that someone who published, a man who attended a seminar about over 50 years ago, a Dr. Richard Day, had a seminar. It was like secret meeting about what would be happening 50-somewhat years from now, which is now. And a lot of what's going on in this world, if you were to read, just look up New Order of Barbarians. Just do a search online.
Is it a seminar or a book?
No, it's a seminar. It's a seminar that this doctor did back in 1969.
What, he videotaped the seminar in 1969?
No. He spoke about it, and what he did is he spoke before some other people, some other doctors, and he asked them to please not to record in any way, just take notes on what he believed would be happening 50 years
All right. And he called it out, huh? He predicted it accurately?
Yes, because possibly everything from what's going on, you know, what's going on today is happening. So I'm wondering if it was a prediction or if what's going on today is that was used as a playbook, because it's almost like it could might as well be a playbook for what's happening today.
All right. What's it called again? The Barbarians what?
New Order of Barbarians.
New Order of Barbarians. Okay, New Order of Barbarians. I shall check it out. Nothing to get excited about. Joe Biden. Why couldn't he handle questions on Brittany Griner? He couldn't handle any questions, but this is, ostensibly a good news story for him. Cut 36, please.
Morning, folks, and it is a good morning. Moments ago, standing together with her wife, Sherelle, in the Oval Office, I spoke with Brittany Griner. She's safe. She's on a plane. She's on her way home. After months of being unjustly detained in Russia, held under intolerable circumstances. Brittany will soon be back in the arms of her loved ones, and she should have been there all along. This is a day we've worked toward for a long time. We never stopped pushing for her release. It took painstaking and intense negotiations, and I want to thank all the hardworking public servants across my administration who worked tirelessly to secure her release.
Stop. You all had your asses handed to you. Victor Bout, international war criminal, was handed over. You got to have it's a trade, right? It's a trade. It's like trading baseball cards. It wasn't a fair trade. We needed more. We needed more. We should have given them far less. Far less. Victor Bout. You don't let a guy like that, especially when there's a war going on right now. Now, from what I understand, they don't want Victor Bout back so they can put him in Russia jail. They want Victor Bout back so they can give him a mansion, they can give him a helicopter, and they can give him access to the Ukraine battlefield and arms dealers and all that stuff. They want to put him back to work. And it looks like he'll be killing Ukrainians by the end of the week, most likely. What the hell kind of deal is this? And I look at the fake news, and they're all praising him. Joe Biden, wow. You know, all of his experience in Washington helped bring on this moment. And Secretary of State Blinken, oh, gosh. Yeah. All right. Him. What about Paul Whelan? He says something about him. Cut 43.
Securing the release of Americans who have been wrongfully detained is a top priority for me as Secretary of State. And it's something every single day. And so, while we're elated at Brittany returning home, we continue to work relentlessly to bring Paul Whelan home as well. Despite our efforts, the Russian government has not yet been willing to end his wrongful detention. They continue to insist on sham charges of espionage and are treating Paul's case differently. As a result, Paul and his loved ones continue to suffer needlessly and unjustly. This was not a choice of which American to bring home. The choice was one or none. I wholeheartedly wish that we could have brought Paul home today on the same plane as Brittany, just as at the time I wish we could have brought Brittany and Paul home when we secured the release of Trevor Reed back in April.
All right. Can you imagine negotiating with this guy? Is this guy going to push you around at the negotiation table? Now, you're going to tell him what the terms are. What a wimp. I mean, and you notice how everything he says, it sounds like a question. Everything is kind of like left hanging a little bit. Paul Whelan, who continues to be held on sham charges of espionage. We will continue everything we can do to bring him home eventually and release him from Russian captivity. These are wimpy people. He has no experience in the real world. You know what he did before he was Secretary of State? He was a Deputy Secretary of State doing favors for Hunter Biden. Literally, we have emails establishing that. Dropping everything he had to do in the middle of the day to meet with Hunter Biden. You can look it up. And before that, what did he do for his professional life? You know what he did? He hung around Joe Biden on the Senate Foreign Relations staff. Senate Foreign Relations Committee staff. He was a staff member. And when you are a staff member, nothing wrong with being a staff person, but you're not a leader. You're not really in charge of much. You're a staff member. And after all those decades hanging around Joe Biden, being Joe Biden's butler, you sound like this.
Securing the release of Americans who have been wrongfully detained is a top priority for me as Secretary of State. And it's something every single day.
Every single day. And even so, at that state dinner the other night, he was thinking about Brittany Griner, right? Yeah. Even when you were in Martha's Vineyard with all your friends on that yearly fishing trip you go on. Yeah, I heard that story. Let's see. Let's get somebody who has some brass ones to say something. Bernie Kerik. Cut 42.
Their priorities are skewed, if you will. The appropriate exchange would have been Whelan. If they were going to do what they did in the exchange and give back basically a warrior for Putin, give back a former KGB guy to Putin, well, then give us the Marine. Why that wasn't done prior, no idea. It just seems pretty ironic. They would take this warrior for Putin and exchange him for, you know, a basketball player. And look, I'm not saying that Griner should have been continued to be held. Honestly, in all honesty, she shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's the bottom line. But the exchange itself, you know, leaves a lot to be desired for the administration and what they're going to do for Whalen and his family.
All right. Excellent. Excellent, Bernie Kerik. I'm really glad that he and Rudy Giuliani are friends again. And they've been friends for, I think, for a little while there. They were a little bit on the outs, but they're friends all over again. All right. Have we seen the Harry and Meghan documentary yet? It came out at midnight last night. I did not. I got to admit, it all worked. The publicity buzz and all that stuff. You got to see what they're about. I understand they're moaning and crying because Harry wore that Nazi shirt in 2007, and somehow it's everybody else's fault. I think that Nazi shirt, and I put it on my Twitter a couple of days ago, that is a very significant moment. I put it up there a couple of days ago just when I found out he was getting that silly anti-racism award from the Kennedys and Alec Baldwin was going to give it to him. It was just like, wait, are you kidding me? This guy gets the anti-racism award? As an adult male, he was walking around with a swastika on his shirt, you know, just for laughs. Ha ha. As an adult male, he was making fun of the people of Pakistan because of the way they look as an adult male. And he gets the anti-racism award. I thought that was kind of crazy. So I put this picture up. It got a huge response on Twitter. And now I think I figured it out. Because of these charges of racism against Harry, well, he wanted to prove to the world how woke he was. And now has become this unconscionable, unbearable liberal. I'm sure he genuinely likes Meghan. I mean, she is a hottie. I'll give her that. But I think there was the added benefit of, you know, hey, you see, I'm not a racist, right? Right? Jason in Jersey City. Hey, pal, how are you?
Hey, Greg, it's good to hear from you. Talk to you again, man. I was, you know, I love Rush Limbaugh. You know what I mean? I'm sure you did, too.
Mm.
And every now and again when I'm listening to you, because you're who I listen to now, during a commercial, I flip over to those two guys who took over for Rush. And it just so happened, I'll never do that again because I'm a loyal person to you.
It's okay. Why? What happened?
They had Ann Coulter on, right? And you know, Ann Coulter, I used to admire Ann Coulter.
Yeah, she doesn't like Trump anymore. I like her. She doesn't like Trump anymore. But what happened?
She hates Trump, so she was telling these two clowns, in my opinion, you know, you got to be honest. She was yelling at them. You got to be honest with your listeners. Trump is a loser. It's Trump's fault this, Trump's fault that. And they did exactly what you just said about dude with the humming, a humming, a humming, Ed Norton. They literally fell apart when Ann Coulter was badgering them.
Ooh. Look, I don't like it when conservatives fight, all right? We got to support each other. I mean, the whole world's out to get us. We shouldn't be out to get each other. So I wish... I think you're talking about Clay and Buck. I wish them success. I didn't hear the exchange. Look, you're supposed to say controversial things, and people are going to disagree on the radio. That's fine. Ann Coulter has her position. If she said that to me, it would have been a different conversation from what it sounds like, but I'm not going to get on Clay and Buck's case, all right? I support them. I want them to succeed because there are so few of us out there, really. And we rely on each other a little bit, you know, when it comes time for selling books and that kind of thing. So, all right. Well, anyway, I appreciate your loyalty. Anything else on your mind? Hey, do me a favor. You were in prison, right?
Yes.
How long has it been since you got out?
It'll be 10 years this upcoming April.
How long are you in?
12 and a half years.
I'm going to ask you a strange question about prison, all right? And I want you to...
Go ahead.
All right. Is there anything about prison that you miss?
I don't want to sound like a weirdo when I answer that question.
No, please, thank you.
I miss not having to do anything. You know? I miss, it was very violent and dangerous and ugly and horrible and everything you can imagine times 20, you know? But if I were to honestly say what I miss about prison... It was not having to do anything, you know, except go to school and whatever you wanted to do.
It's kind of funny. I just knew, I don't know why I thought about this morning, but I thought that in prison, you might have conversations with people that you don't normally have. For instance, younger guys with older guys, you know what I mean? Just talking to each other. And I could imagine that happening in prison. I just thought, for whatever reason, I could see somebody leaving prison, not having those conversations again, and missing that aspect of prison life. Not that you would want to go back to prison, but anyway, hey, thank you for the honesty. And what are you doing now, by the way?
Anytime, Greg. Greg, I'm a retired carpenter, and I actually, there are so many facets to my life. I don't mean to sound interesting because I'm not, but you know, at this point, I lived with my, when I got out of prison, I met a man, and we've been in a relationship ever since. And, you know, I'm a retired carpenter, but what I do basically is I build furniture for friends, and I do things for friends, sheetrock, this kind of thing. But,
all right.
I found God in prison. I changed my entire life in prison. Listen, once upon a time, man, if I saw you walking down the street, the first thing I would think about is clubbing you and taking your wallet. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But that's a dead issue.
All right. Hey, so wait a second. Did you just say you're, you know, right? I mean, that's fine, but did
I'm a gay American.
All right. Oh, wait, who are you? Governor McGreevy, remember that? Hey, do you remember that? It was so amazing. When he said that, it was like, it was the most shocking thing in the world. He was finished in politics forever, right? Now we've come to the point that it is the ultimate credential in politics. Pete Buttigieg almost became president because he's gay. Isn't that, I mean, as a gay man, how do you feel about that? Is that, you see that as a, look, I got to go. To be continued, they're giving me the cut sign. Jason, I appreciate it. Thanks. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
But I looked at this particular incident, and it wasn't about a traffic stop. It wasn't about a golf cart. It was about integrity.
Oh, the mayor of Tampa, Florida, talking about why she had to get rid of the police chief, Chief Mary O'Connor. What did she do? She did what, quite frankly, I think you're supposed to do as a cop when you get pulled over. You ready for this? Cut 20... I know you heard this by now, but I'm still furious about the whole thing. Cut 24.
Good evening.
How you feeling?
Good. I'm Deputy Chico of the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you're driving a tag or unregistered vehicle with no tag on it on the roadway.
Yeah, we went to the club. It was closed, so we went over and picked up some...
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll say... now that you say you look familiar, so...
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, have a good night. Staying over here in East Lake Woodlands?
Yeah, we live in East Lake Woodlands.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. So, I'm Deputy Jacoby.
Okay.
Same here, my friend.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right,
sorry
take care.
To bother you.
All right, no worries. No worries.
Huh. What did she do, huh? I'm the police chief in Tampa. She identified herself. She said, hoping you'll let us go tonight. She didn't order him to let them go. She didn't demand. She hoped. Anybody who's ever been pulled over by a cop hopes they don't get a ticket, hopes they're free to go. Unbelievable. Cops can't do anything anymore, huh? Can't do anything. And so a lot of them, understandably, aren't. Be back soon.
Greg Kelly. The Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, to the guy in Howard Beach who called with that information about CBS Reports, thank you. CBS Reports was, at a time, way back when, a pretty good show. A pretty good show. And yeah, Roger Mudd did it on CBS. That's back before he got the axe. Well, he didn't get the axe. Dan Rather, reporting, was promoted in 1980, really, to take Walter Cronkite's job, and that made him so angry. It's very interesting, the rivalry that happened. Not that interesting, but the rivalry, the jealousy that happens between people who work at the same TV station. You know, it's just, it's a thing. Did I ever tell you I remember the first time I got to a squadron in the Marine Corps? You know what they did the very first day? They throw you a party. They throw you a great big party. It's beautiful. Wow. Thank you. And then the guy who's leaving, they throw him a party as well. They call it a hail and farewell. Hello, goodbye. It's a wonderful thing. You show up at your first TV station, you're on your own. who are you? Yeah, where'd you come from? Okay. All right. Never talk to you again. It's just you are. It's dog eat dog. And I used to think, oh, the people in the military are just but better people. Not true. People are people. People are competitive or whatever. But in the military, they were protected by rank. All right. Rank is an interesting thing. It can be limiting. It also can be a protection. No one, it's not like the general's going to come up to the base and say, okay, Lieutenant Kelly, you're now in charge of all these people. I like you that much. You're in charge now, Colonel so-and-so, get the hell out of here. Lieutenant Kelly's in charge. It can't work that way. It's actually illegal to work that way. It will never work that way. In the civilian world, it's conceivable. It would not be illegal. It's unlikely, but things like that have been known to happen. All right. So where the hell is Brittany Griner? Is she back yet? Is she making her way? Is she really going to come to America? Are we good enough for her? I mean, she really had a big problem with us, right, with the kneeling and what the systemic racism and all this stuff. I mean, is she going to come back? Maybe she'd be happier in Swaziland, huh? Is she coming back to America? Do we know this for a fact? She's in the United Arab Emirates right now. Maybe she's going to make that her new home. Hmm? Is she still going to kneel at the national anthem? Hey, I'm glad she's coming back. And if you've been listening to this show, you know that I've been kind of saying, I don't care what her political positions were. I want her out of there, just like Paul Whelan. I want them home. But now that she's back, yeah, game on as far as the criticism. You were an embarrassment. You, Brittany Griner, and your drugs going over there. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. A lot of this is on you. But I'm glad you're home nonetheless. I am. I'm glad you're out of there. Joe Biden, of course, negotiated the worst deal in the world. The worst deal. What's this guy's? Victor Bout, one of the worst mass murderers, arms dealers alive right now. We give him away. We get Brittany Griner back. This is right out of the Barack Obama Bo Bergdahl exchange. We let half of Guantanamo Bay go for Bo Bergdahl, war deserter. Just left his post, walked away in Afghanistan. Taliban didn't like him either. The Taliban liked him less than his buddies in the army. Shouldn't have done that, Bo. I wonder where he is these days. He made a podcast that, all right, Brittany Griner is back. I don't even know what team she plays on. Does anybody know what team? I don't even, was she on the New York Liberty? That's our team, right? When is the women's basketball season? Is it the same time as this? Would be a good time to bring Mike inside. Mike Dedino, the sports guy, knows all this stuff. In the meantime, let's see here. Part of the celebration at the White House is, the identity politics thing is a big deal. The identity politics. Now, we don't care that she's gay, but boy, oh boy, does Joe Biden, does the media, and Randy Weingarten. Let's hear from Brittany Griner's wife. And I'm happy she's going to be reunited. But again, this is an imbalance. This is a chump exchange. Chump change, chump exchange. Cut 37, please.
So over the last 9 months, you all have been so privy to one of the darkest moments of my life. And so today I'm just standing here overwhelmed with emotions, but the most important emotion that I have right now is just sincere gratitude for President Biden and his entire administration. He just mentioned this work is not easy, and it has not been. There's been so many hands involved, and so I'd like to take a moment to just specifically mention a few. Vice President Harris, Secretary Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Joss Geltzer from the National Security Council, Roger Cartson and Fletcher Schoen from the Hostage Envoys Office. A special thank you to Governor Richardson and Mickey, the Mercury Players, the WNBPA for your advocacy. And also, you guys may not know this, but my family has been tremendously supported by the Wasserman Agency, BG's agent, Lindsay Colas. It's just been amazing for me and my family throughout this process.
All right. Congratulations. And she did thank Joe Biden, I have no beef with her. I have even no beef with Brittany Griner herself. But the exchange is totally imbalanced. And I understand some athlete out there, I don't know who it is, I think a football player for Dallas, Mike Dedina, who has the same concerns that I do in the NFL?
Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys linebacker.
Michael Parsons, Dallas Cowboys linebacker. What did he say? How did he get himself in trouble? It's amazing. It's amazing how you can get yourself in trouble, serious trouble, for just saying what you think. What did he do?
So first he tweeted, believe it was something along the lines, I don't have the exact tweet here, but he was upset about the Marine getting left in. He has family in the Marine, so he was upset about the Marine not coming home and Brittany Griner coming home. Now, I don't guess he was upset. He wasn't upset about Brittany Griner coming home, but he was upset the Marine was not home as well. And then he...
All right, so wait a second. Paul Whelan, we are upset. He's still there. Nobody talks about him. Everybody's forgotten him. He's still there. So he says he's upset about that. Okay, what happened next?
And then he tweeted at Joe.
He tweeted at Joe Biden.
Yeah, said, we're not, and I quote, we're not voting for you.
Good for him. Good for him. I like it.
Oh, I'm stoked about that.
Michael,
I like that.
What's his name again? Michael who?
Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Parsons.
M-I-C-A-H, Parsons, and he plays linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, hell of a player, too.
He's good, huh?
Hell of a player.
And what happened after that?
And then he obviously got, had to take it down, apologize.
Wait, whoa. Obviously, according to who? I mean, that's not against Twitter policy. You're allowed to say those things. You're allowed to express your political viewpoint. So obviously, according to whom? What happened?
Well, this is what he said. He said, my last tweet was no shot at Brittany Griner.
Hey, whoa. I want to find out. You said obviously.
Yeah.
Now, I want to meet, and I'm not putting, this is not on you, but and a lot of people would say that. Obviously, according to what? The NFL? What, a bunch of people on Twitter were mad at him? Like, why, obviously, did he have to take that back?
Because he went against the mainstream media.
And who applied the pressure on him?
I would presume people in his corner. Could have been in the NFL. Could have been...
That's the thing. People in his corner, what the hell do they know? His posse, who the people he runs with?
His family.
They don't care. I mean, you don't check with your family about the stuff you tweet. For the most part, I kind of do, but I would imagine this came from the woke, not broke NFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it came from, but regardless,
a second, you blow that off like it's not important. It's important. He's an employee for one of the biggest corporations in America. This had to be a corporate move. I mean, let me see. Let me look up this guy. What else do we know about Michael Parsons?
Micah. From a football standpoint or from a personal standpoint?
This is you already said he's a good player, so what else do I need to know?
I believe he has family in the Marines, which is why he was seemingly so upset about this. I don't know his exact...
Seemingly so upset? You're so skeptical. Well, you sound like you work in the press office of Roger Goodell.
Yes.
I mean, come on. What?
Me and Roger are close.
Take that back.
I'm just joking. I don't like Roger Goodell.
We hate that guy.
You hate Goodell?
Totally. Absolutely. That jerk in the basement, that phony video, we at the NFL stand against racism, as if we all stand for it. You know what I mean? You're being special by saying you're against racism. He does it. He's worth $89 million billion, and he pretends he has a cheap wood panel Atari station, PlayStation in the basement. I don't like that guy. All right, so what happened next?
So then Parsons tweets, let me pull it up here. He apologizes for the tweet. He says, my last tweet was no shot at Brittany Griner. I'm super happy she's back home. I have family who served, and it's crazy to me the president wouldn't bring him home, too. This is interesting. He says, I'm the furthest thing from a Trump supporter, but I'm not a fan of Biden either.
You see how you have to you have to give yourself that space to criticize a Democrat. Oh, I don't like Trump. I'm the furthest thing from a Trump supporter. You know what, Michael Parsons? You were a good guy for about 8 minutes, and then you sold out like the rest of them. Dedina, don't be like that.
You think I'm a sellout?
I see the potential. Not the sellout. Sellout's too strong. But I do see the potential for you to go like this. Which way is the wind blowing? Okay, how's this going to affect me and my brand and my this and my that and my this and my that? And will some guy in a locker room, if I'm back there, look at me funny someday if I...
There you think is, I'm a yes man?
There is some of that. No, you're very... Maybe there's something to this. But I do think you're a little bit strategic. A lot of you guys, actually, in the sports world, when it comes to sports journalists, you're more scared than the fake news. No disrespect, but you guys don't want to jeopardize your access and your sources and whatever free, not you, but whatever freebies that they get, right? You know what I'm talking about. They play by the NFL's rules.
Well, typically I was going to say, from my knowledge, it seems that most of the media, the sports media, leans left. Majority of the media leans left. I'm not sure why that is.
Well, don't follow that. Don't go there. But anyway, that's a very thorough. How old is this guy?
Micah? Yeah. I'm going to say he was drafted last year. I'm going to say he's 23.
That's it? Wow, he's only been around for a year.
Yeah, young guy.
Okay. All right. Now, what about the WNBA? What about her, Brittany Griner? I guess I should know something about her. What team does she play on?
The Phoenix Mercury she's on. I don't watch the WNBA. I don't think many people in the world really watch the WNBA.
And why is that? Is it bad basketball?
It's awful basketball. It's awful. It's unwatchable.
Wait,
Frank.
Seriously? It's that bad?
Wait,
because women's soccer, if you watch women's soccer, it's kind of like men's soccer. The field's too big. It's chase the ball, just like with men's soccer. I mean, what, do they miss the baskets or something? I mean, what's wrong with it?
Oh, man. Maybe I'm getting myself into a corner here.
No, just be honest. What's the deal? What's wrong with it?
It's just not enjoyable to watch. Actually, I watched a little bit of the March Madness for the women's this year. A little bit of that. That was somewhat entertaining.
Why? Were there bloopers or something?
No, it's just there's some good players there.
Okay. All right. Didino, Michael, thank you very much. Hey, how do people find you on... that little what's that thing that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
Website.
What is it?
Business is booming on the website.
What kind of business is it?
Just business.
What do you mean
it's
by
booming?
That?
Just a quote I like to say.
No, I mean, but what do you do on your website? What is your website first of all?
So the website is wabcsportsradio.com.
Oh, what's the one that you really pat? What, don't you have another one?
Well, that's the Instagram page, which I've now kind of changed gears on.
You stepped away from?
Stepped away from the Instagram page, doing more stuff for the website. Now wabcsportsradio.com for anybody out there that wants to click on it right now, help our numbers out.
That's fantastic. That's very big of you, by the way.
Man.
That's a good thing to do. Now that you've established that, do we want to give your Instagram page a little bit of love?
77 WABC Sports.
Wow, you are a company man through and through. I love it.
I'm a company man.
All right. Mike Dedino, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg, as always. Have a great weekend. Oh, it's Thursday. Have a great Thursday night.
Calm down there. Sorry. Easy there. What was that all about?
Have a good night, man.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you can turn that mic off. Eesh, what the hell was that attitude about? Did you catch that, everybody? It was very sarcastic. He had that whole thing planned about the weekend. Anyway, he's a great guy, but I found that Kevin, he's out of the room now. Be honest. Wasn't that a little bit of attitude there? There was something up.
I think he was just excited to be on the show to talk about it in all
seriousness. No, but he seemed to be like trying to, I don't know. Anyway.
Beastus might be booming for him today. Who knows?
Ah, here's the wife. Come on in, darling. Judith is here.
Silly season.
What do you mean by that?
It means the holidays, the gifts, the bills, the tips.
Oh, we got to tip everybody.
I can't take it anymore. The mailman, the doorman, the people in the parking lot.
We live in an apartment building. We never see the mailman.
No, I stalk the mailman.
What do you mean by that?
Looking to see if anyone's paid me a check. So
that's
I'm
right.
Like, has the mail come? Has the mail come?
The mail come. A lot of the business my wife does is through the mail. Well, what does our mailman look like?
He's a lovely-looking gentleman, and there's a woman as well, and I will have to tip them because I know them very well. And everyone should do that.
All right. What brings you here today? Lunch.
You know, I forgot. I was on the phone on the way over, and I forgot to bring your lunch. And then I thought moral support is just as good.
All right, darling, good to see you. Everybody, thank you very much. Brittany Griner, for all I've said, welcome home. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Just remember, government buildings are government buildings. We love America, but let's take it easy with the religious references. It's amazing. They want it. Just like Karl Marx. I think this was his playbook, right? You make the state, you make the government the god. And so many people out there have already given up on religion. They're just indulging themselves every which way, secular. They're all in with this corrupt, horrible world. Oh, there's some nice things too, but you know what I mean. They're all in, and they don't consider God. They don't revere God. They don't love God. I'm sorry. I think it's available to everybody, and I hope everybody comes around, but a lot of people won't. For a long time, by the way, I was one of those people, just all about me, 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 me. But to hear this, it's totally offensive. This is wrong. You do not assign this level of reverence to an institution, even if the institution is America. All right? This is way too much. And here we go again. Cut 22, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi using religion in a way that's, sacrilegious. Cut 22.
Today, under this hallowed Capitol dome,
these high ideals were once again on display right here on this sacred ground beneath the dome. And may we always remember the fallen, the martyrs for democracy. Thank you to our heroes for being us with us today, and thank all of you for joining us as we canonize these heroes in the pantheon of patriots.
Pantheon, the hall of the gods, canonize, martyrs. Hey, you want to know the real secret to Nancy and Chuck, why they're really in the game of politics? Listen to Chuck Schumer right here rattle off all of his bodyguards, okay? 15 guys, cut 21.
To my personal detail, Mike, Kevin, Joe, DeJuan, and Chris, as well as Antonio, Larry, Sophonia, Christian, Brian, Darren, Kat, Fernando, Richardson, and Alex, thank you. Thank you what you do every day to keep me,
all right,
my family, and my staff safe.
You know, you should have cut some of them loose on January 6th to protect the building, all right? Fernando and Keith and DeJuan and Lou and Fred and George and Pete and Bill, all keeping an eye on Chuck. That's why they want these leadership positions. It makes them feel important with a bunch of bodyguards and a bunch of SUVs. It's a big lesson in power. I'll be back.
Greg Kelly. You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, doesn't this sound like a really sad person and her situation needs to be addressed and investigated? This is Raphael Warnock's ex-wife. Raphael Warnock is on his way to a full term in the United States Senate. He's a deadbeat dad, doesn't pay his child support, doesn't seem to be particularly interested in his kids. And when he shows up around his ex-wife, he gets very, very, violent, according to her. Cut 14, please.
Backing the car up. And he wasn't going fast. Like, I'm not bleeding, but I just can't believe he would run me over.
Wow, that's really tough. And you know what? It's part of the public record. That's police body cam footage. And we never heard a word about it during the campaign. Yeah, I put it on my show. Maybe Tucker did once. Or more, maybe more than that, but then you know what happens? Media and all these websites say, how dare he do that? How dare the right-wing media do that? What, report the truth? Report public record? And look at what the left does to Herschel Walker. That's Raphael Warnock's ex-wife. She exists. Her name is Uliay Nadoye. She exists. She's a person with a name. And all the women who came out and showed up at Gloria Allred's office, do they have names? Yeah. Can you use them? No. Cut 15.
He says the woman who
brought the allegations as not to be identified for privacy concerns, and that they have corroborated the details with a close friend.
Last week, a second woman, her face and name withheld.
NBC News is not revealing the woman's identity, nor the documents at her request for privacy.
The woman, who asked not to be identified for privacy reasons, provided a receipt she says is from the clinic.
The woman, who has requested anonymity, citing privacy concerns, provided the Daily Beast with a receipt from the abortion clinic.
The woman, who remains anonymous, citing privacy concerns.
At her request, we agreed not to use her name, calling her Jane Doe instead. But she says she now wants to show her face.
How about that one? See how they use the same phrase? Privacy concerns. Privacy concerns. Privacy concerns. This woman has no privacy. She didn't ask for it. It's part of the public record. But they gave it to her anyway. Cut 14.
And he just starts backing the car up. And he wasn't going fast. Like, I'm not bleeding, but I just can't believe he would run me over.
I'm only guessing at her name, by the way. It's a little bit, it's not a name you hear every day. It's spelled O-U-L-E-Y-E, last name N-D-O-Y-E, Olyai Nadoye, I think. I never heard it before. Have you? Did you hear that story? No. Because you could do whatever you had to do to take Herschel out because he's pro-life. Because he's pro-life. They even brought out another woman who did not want to be identified until the day before the election. Sure, you can use my name the day before the election. Anything goes. Just got to stop... We just got to make sure that abortion stays with us, right? Abortion, abortion, abortion. You can do anything in the name of abortion. Christine Blasey Ford, we can shut down the whole damned economy to watch her sit there, goofy, crying, silly glasses, lying, can't, no specifics whatsoever. And she's treated seriously. Serious. Wall to wall. Do you remember that? What a bizarre moment. And I tell you what, yes, I had a couple of, whoa. If you take down Judge Kavanaugh at the time, and they had just gone through all of his credentials, you know, Harvard, Yale, this letter of recommendation, this president, he worked for that person. He was on Air Force One. He flew the world. He was in charge of all the intelligence at the time. Every guy is listening to this and saying, you know what, that's pretty impressive. I don't quite have that record. Most people don't. This guy, never a blip. He had a perfect, perfect resume. And somebody at the last minute comes forward. And you know how many responsible people said, no, you should go away now because this person said something about you without any doubt. If they could have taken him out, they'll take anybody out. And they're still trying. They are still trying. And the other message is, by the way, don't mess with us. If you are so silly to run for office and we oppose you, we'll destroy you, we'll get your own family to say stuff about you. You know, Christian Walker. Anyway, I think Herschel's great. And, this got him in trouble, too. He's talking to Diamond and Silk. He's talking about, well, I'm sorry, but disproportionately, it seems like if you look at the numbers, black men more than white men are likely to walk out on a family. It's the data. Some people want to address that. I want to address that. I want to talk about it. I want to do whatever we can because it wasn't always like this, everybody. But you know what? I should shut up because I'm just a white guy, right? Well, let's let Herschel talk about it. Herschel should be able to talk about it, right? I do think so. Cut 18.
What we need to do is let's go in our neighborhood and let's become fathers of those fatherless child. Meaning, let's try to direct them in the right way.
What about teaching our black men that if you lay down with a woman and you make a baby, it is your responsibility to stay there to make sure that child is raised?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Give them good values that you have. Mm-hmm. That you say, you know what? And I said this to someone. I said, if you have a child with a woman, and even if you have to leave that woman, you don't leave the child.
Right. Right.
You let that child know. You try to work it out. You're going to be respectful to her. if you're going to be respectful to other things, you show that to your child.
Well, who can argue with that, right? It's kind of a beautiful thing to say. I mean, I'm beautiful. I think it's helpful. It's not negative. How dare Herschel Walker talk like that? You know how many kids he has? Who the hell is he to talk like that? Oh, boy. He can't talk like that. We don't want to hear that from Herschel. You can't talk about that, Herschel. Only Barack Obama can talk about that, right? Perfect family. Has been there every step of the way. And he has, by the way. But wait a second. Not even he can talk about it. He got bitch slapped by the left for talking about it. You know that, right? You can't talk about the crisis in the black community. You can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. Herschel can't talk about it. Barack Obama can't talk about it. Yet we go from, in 1967, listen to this number, and this was considered a crisis. And forgive me, 1965, the Moynihan Report, 33% of all black children were born into single-parent homes. No father. And that was a crisis back then. You know what the number is now? It's damn near 70%. It's three times as bad. And there's even less attention, less care, less hope. You can't talk about that. Let's talk about the 1619 Project. Let's talk about the systemic racism. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter. We need more representation in Hollywood. Let's talk about everything but the issues. I actually think this is fixable. I was talking to somebody the other day. You can never fix it. Nobody will ever fix it. You know what? And the violence, one-year-old children being killed. You know, this is not happening in many places. It's happening in about a half dozen zip codes in the damn country. And we can't figure it out. We're too, what, sensitive? Afraid? Yeah, not afraid of bullets, afraid of what they're going to say. It's very, very kind of ironic and a little bit ridiculous that it falls to me, Greg Kelly, the nut job on the radio and on the TV, to speak about this, the most important issue of our time. Isn't that wild? Barack Obama, he ran for president because he thought he could address this. And then he got bitch slapped so hard, he never bothered to again. Because, well, a man like him can't afford to look bad. I don't know. He just, he got some criticism, and he's not about taking risks. He's about being cool. Just wild, though. Herschel can't talk about it, and Barack Obama can't talk. One of the reasons why they didn't want Barack Obama talking about it, you know why? He's too white. Barack Obama is too white. Now, where did I hear that from? Barack Obama. He writes about it in his 16 memoirs, all those books about himself. Talks about how he was not trusted in Chicago because, yes, of his white ancestry, his white relatives. They're like, who is this guy? He's a white mother, black father. We don't trust him. He's not black enough. He's too white. We don't want to hear from him. And he's sensitive to this. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like not being accepted. So he had to choose, and he went all in. He could have been this singular figure, a real leader, but he went all in on the crazy woke victimization crap. And he didn't make a damn bit of difference, did he? Carrie in Queens, hello.
Thank you for taking my call. This deal that this this president has done is second only to the Indians selling Manhattan Island to the settlers for $24 worth of beads. This is so disgusting. I'm so fed up. It's just adding one more pile onto the garbage that we've had from this administration. Patton and MacArthur are spinning in their graves. Every decent Marine and Army person and Air Force person is disgusted. Then they wonder why they can't get enlistments. I am so fed up from this. I can't begin to tell you to switch, to send back this murderer, this arms dealer, the top disgusting person to get this back. This, I can't even discuss how what I think of her. She wouldn't even give up any respect to the country. She won't even salute the flag, and we're giving back this arms dealer for her. It's a disgrace. Biden is a disgrace to this country. This administration is a curse on us. And that's how I feel.
I'm glad you called. I feel the same way. I really do. And you, your rage, the rawness of it all, you're right. You speak for millions. You speak for millions. Gosh. How are you otherwise? I'm sorry. I know this has got you distressed, but did you call before once?
I'm an elderly person.
Did you call before?
What this country's become from this Biden, what he's done, one more pile onto the pile of garbage, one thing after the other, and now this is a disgrace. I mean, I'm so fed up. I can't begin to tell.
You sound inconsolable. Now, I share your, but we got to look on the bright side, all right? I want to talk about some positive stuff. Anything you're looking forward to these days? Carrie, please, something?
No, it's just I have my DVDs, and I'll watch the Second World War on the DVDs. I'm reading an excellent book. It's called Chastised.
Hey, wait a second. Are you the one? Did I buy you something? I bought you that walker, right?
Yes.
Well, Carrie.
I just be careful. Don't give my name out on this.
Don't worry.
I don't need repercussions. Understand what I'm saying?
I understand totally. All right. It's been a long time. You know, I was, quite frankly, just blown away by that thank you note you wrote. Oh, wait a second.
I'm also getting a Christmas card.
Carrie, you are amazing. And I remember you're the one who told me that story. And I think you were very impressed. You told me about that grammar school you worked in, right?
Right. Yeah.
What was the name of the school?
Now.
What?
He's gold next to what we got now.
You're talking about Trump, because Trump was a student in the school where you used to teach, but you weren't there when he was there. What was the name of that school again?
Hugh Forrest School.
Yeah, and they still knew about him, right? I mean, you were still talking about him at the school?
Well, different other things, too, that I'm not even going to go into because I don't want to get sued,
You're not going to get sued. That's true, actually. Yeah, you're...
This is why I'm even talking to you under another name. You know, what am I going to tell you? You got a very bad whole system here that, you can't get traced back.
All right, relax. No, there's still Americans. We still have protection here. This is still America. Nice things still happen. You call the radio station. You tell them about your problems. You say that somebody stole your walker. And what do you know? The guy on the radio gets you a new walker. Come on, that was kind of a thing. You know the hoops we had to jump through to get that?
You're getting a Christmas card for you and your family. Thank you so much. I listen to you every day.
Carrie,
and,
thank you so much. No, that was a beautiful – it was a privilege to do that for you, and I appreciate it. Just don't get too down, all right? Hey, wait a second. You do the collages as well, right?
Say again?
Don't you do collages or something like that?
Yes. Decoupage.
Yeah.
I cut out different things, and they make a theme. And then I varnish it, and I can use it on anything, even discarded wooden products or anything. You can make a nice antique out of it.
I love it. I need a hobby like that. I need something like that. Well, Carrie, thank you very much. Let's not get too down. I know it's ridiculous, but God sees all, and we're going to see a massive correction, I do believe. Thank you, Carrie, and I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. This is the Greg Kelly Show.
You notice it's harder to buy stuff. Everything's more expensive. But literally, it's physically harder to buy stuff, especially at the drugstores. You know, you go in there and they used to have the razor blades under lock and key. Now they have M&Ms under lock and key. It's a ludicrous situation. And it happened because, we essentially decriminalized shoplifting. Alvin Bragg and other maniacs, even before Alvin Bragg showed up, culturally it was just we're not going to make those arrests, we're not going to apprehend anybody, we're not going to stop them. And there's an element of guilt, white guilt or something like that, because quite frankly, if you look at it, if you study it, if you really focus on it, a lot of these crimes are happening in, do me a favor, BLM and all that stuff, right? Who did it really kind of impact more than anyone else? Not you and me, but sophisticated, liberal, mostly white fabulous people on television. And look at how they show their virtue here. Cut 19.
This is a reckoning in America on the question of race.
This idea that we're living in this racial reckoning where everyone's talking about race, everyone's talking about kind of opportunity.
Now we're in a moment, John, where people are taking to the streets in a moment of racial reckoning.
As you know and our viewers know, we've been living through a racial reckoning this summer.
America right now is in the middle of a racial reckoning, and this year has never been more important for truth, transparency, and reliable information.
Oh, that's on CNN, no less. What does reckoning actually mean? The action or process of calculating or estimating something. It's got to be more than that. Reckoning. What does it mean? The time when one is called to account for one's actions, to pay one's debts, or to fulfill one's promises or obligations. A time when the consequences of a course of mistakes or misdeeds are felt. The flow of wealth, hurried overstocking, and brought the day of reckoning nearer, according to R.A. Billington. So what are we supposed to do, this reckoning? A redistribution of resources, of more than that, of status somehow. Anyway, bottom line, somehow it's okay to steal stuff. It's not, but everyone's feeling it. They're closing stores. Walmart can't keep up with this. It took Walmart, by the way, to call BS on this whole thing. Walmart, you know, Chanel, they're not going to stand up and say anything. Louis Ferragamo or Ferragamo Louis or Salvatore Ferragamo, whatever you those high-end stores, they can't say anything. Finally, Walmart stood up and said, we've already raised prices and we're going to start closing stores because we can't handle this shoplifting stuff. Now it'll be like everything must be purchased online. This racial reckoning, so-called reckoning, man, oh man, oh man, a new way of talking. You can talk about certain stuff, but you can talk about it only in this way, and you can't talk about other stuff. And the stuff, it's all around us, and you can't touch it, and I can't touch it. And even, well, Herschel Walker can't touch it, no way. He's way too compromised in that area, and Barack Obama can't touch it. He's way too perfect in that area. What is going on? Gosh, this is so complicated, and it takes so much energy. You know, it's a parallel universe. It shouldn't be like this. All right, I got to go across the street here in a second. Alfred in the Yonkers, yes.
Hi, thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to say the police cannot catch a break. And, you know, we buried one of Yonkers' finest yesterday, and I hope he rests in peace. And, you know, he didn't deserve to die the way he died. It was accidental. You know, no one deserves to die, of course. But
we're all going to die. Is this the one that was the car crash, right?
The car crash, right.
16-year-old. Yeah. Tough.
And, you know, it just was a bad break. And that police chief down in Tampa that got fired, I think, why can't they extend the professional courtesy to her? And why are police officials under such scrutiny? Police and their officials.
I know, because people who make millions of dollars sit back on the sidelines, like Gail King and Willie Geist, talk about this racial reckoning and criminal justice reform. They do it to enhance and retain their own power. Listen, I got to go. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll see you tonight at Newsmax at 10.
Greg Kelly.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.